Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Hey, Preds fans, you want to win tickets in our lower bowl, section 102? Just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, Superbook, to the game text line, 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered to win with 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and you can win with Superbook. We say hello now to our man, Willie Donick. He's a part of Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Weekdays 11 to 2 coming up in about 30 minutes. And Willie, I think you're probably like Michelle in that you're a little sad today knowing that college basketball has come to an end for another year.
Yeah, that's always the case, I think, when you get to this time of the year. And it was a fun season, a lot of good moments in the tournament. I'm always bummed when the Predators play up against the Final Four, either in the semifinals or the finals. Like, come on, Dallas, what are you doing scheduling a game on Monday night when the championship game's going on? Let's go. Let's get it together. But I know that's a busy building. They hosted the Women's Final Four, which was spectacular, as we know. What a great sporting event. Took that whole event to new heights in that building. So it was kind of interesting being there last night. But I went back and watched the game this morning, and congratulations to UConn.
So, I've worked with you for a long time, and you've taught me a lot about college basketball. And, I've never claimed to be the college hoops expert, like you are. But I know that I thoroughly enjoyed both the men's and women's tournament this year. And, the men's tournament especially lived up to March Madness more so than I think it has in a long time. So, even with transfer portals and still the one and dones and things like that, where would you say the college basketball is right now when it comes to just how popular it is, how viable it is after this tournament?
Well, I think the tournament is always going to be something that delivers for college basketball, and this year was no exception. I think it's a lot of fun when you have some of the randomness that we had, where a lot of, no one seeds made it. I think by the end of the tournament, you had a real feeling of how good UConn is. Mm-hmm. UConn looked like a number one seed. They looked like the most powerful team in the tournament. But, really, there were a ton of games where it didn't happen, and that's great entertainment for sure. But I would say that the college game does need a lot of work. We're going to talk about that on our show today. And I've got some ideas. I just think that if you look at the women's tournament, one of the things that made it really compelling was, man, there was some great superstar quality to it.
Yes.
And that's what I think we're missing in the men's game.
Willie Donick on with us. Willie, continuing that conversation, we started off the show today asking the question to a lot of our listeners on if they classify UConn a blue blood. They just won their fifth title in 25 years, which only two other programs in UCLA and Duke have been able to do. Do you think that teams can play well enough and create a name for their program that they can be considered a blue blood? And do you consider UConn after this tournament a blue blood?
Yeah, as I was growing up, I don't know if I ever really thought about it as blue blood, but I think if you look at UConn, what they did that was really smart was they basically said, I know the trend is with college football and all the money's with college football, but we prioritize basketball. We think basketball is important. So let's get our team back in a basketball league. And I thought that was the best move that UConn's ever made, to get back to the Big East, mm-hmm. back to the roots. And I think that has made them a program that is now going to be in the national spotlight. I think they were sort of lost in the American, their basketball program. I know they did some good things in there, but then they had probation and things like that. It's an interesting history to that program. But I think when they are in the Big East, they fit, and they've got a brand for sure. That was just a great team. I mean, you look at how easily they blew through that tournament.
Yeah.
And the depth and the talent, the way they jumped out. I'll be honest, I didn't know who Sonogo was before the Big East tournament. He wasn't a guy that got a lot of preseason hype. They weren't even in the preseason top 25. But by the end of the year, I thought he might have been the best player out there.
So, you know, looking at the tournament as a whole, Chase mentioned, we saw a lot of madness this year. I do think that UConn, the way they went through this tournament, they were one of the best teams in the tournament. They came out on top. How do you think this offseason, the transfer portal will, you know, change college basketball again next year? I mean, it's still kind of the wild, wild west. We've seen so many players just enter their name into it. A lot of them won't find a home. But how do you think it'll change college basketball and it'll allow more college basketball teams to be relevant once you get into tournament play?
Well, I've never liked it, and I understand why the rules have changed the way they are. Chase will remember a conversation we had with Kermit Davis the year or two before this rule came. He was scared to death about what it would do. And it's happened exactly the way he thought it would. It's a nightmare for coaches. And I know so there's winners and losers in this, but I just think the lack of continuity in rosters, the lack of continuity in developing teams is a minus for college basketball. And I don't know what you do about it. I was thinking about ideas this morning on how you try to incentivize players to stay and teams to stay together. I'm not sure that there is a solution there. But we had a great conversation with Nick McDevitt, the successor to Kermit Davis. We're just beginning this whole transfer portal thing.
Yeah.
Every year there's more players in the portal. He said there were like 1,700 last year. There will be over 2,000 this year. And like you said, Michelle, there's a lot of good stories, but there's, for every good story, there might be 1.5 bad stories. There'll be players that go into that portal and they stay in the portal. And by the way, where is the portal? If you're stuck in the portal, where are you?
It's like the iCloud. It's somewhere up there.
Yeah.
Willie Donick on with us. Willie, sticking with that, you know, I look at a program right in our backyard, Belmont. Will Richards, one of their star freshmen 2 years ago, transferred to Florida. You switch over to the women's program. Destiny Wells, a phenomenal year in the Missouri Valley. She just transferred to Tennessee. Another one of their star players to Baylor. How much do you think it's going to hurt the little guys in college basketball and some of these mid-major programs?
Well, that's what we're just starting to find out. I do think there's guys coming back the other way, too. You saw Malik Dia is going from Vanderbilt to Belmont. I think he'll be a great pickup for Belmont, a kid that played high school ball right here in Nashville. I think he had some really nice flashes for Vanderbilt. But once again, you're sort of pulled like a magnet into this game. I don't think Casey Alexander, for example, enjoys this kind of thing. What has been the thing about Belmont that's been really, really fun over the years is how they build teams year in and year out. They go from freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior. They have that continuity. You know the guys. You know how they're going to play. You know what kind of players they're looking for. They've added layers each year, you know, with the level of talent. And you know what you're getting. It's a fun program. But now you're kind of forced to play this game. And you know, whether you want to or not, whether you like it or not. And I just don't think that's a good thing.
Willie Donick is with us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. I mean, and you know, along these lines, like I haven't brought this up to you, but Michelle and I talked about this with Vanderbilt and the run that they went on at the end of the season and how awesome that was. But I mean, think about one of the guys for Texas that helped carry them and Dylan Dessou and what he could have meant to Vanderbilt had he stayed and not transferred out.
Oh, yeah, but then you can start playing the other side of the coin saying if Dessou had stayed, then would Liam Robinson come in? I lose track of who's coming, who's going. I mean, this is my program. I love it. I loved watching that team come together this year. But, of course, 3-4 days after the season ends, you start seeing the movement. You know, guys who don't see themselves in the rotation next year, they're going elsewhere. Guys, you know, are taking a look at the pros. It's hard to keep it all together. I don't envy what any college coach has to do. But like I said, you have to play this game. The other thing that really stinks, in my opinion, is the guys that get caught up in it are the high school players. Mm-hmm. You know, the juniors and seniors in high school right now, they get pinched because coaches are forced. They need to win. And so what's the best way to win? This is not just basketball. This is really all the sports. What's my better path to winning? Sometimes it's the short-term fix let me go recruit a point guard who's 23 or, you know, 21, 22 years old who can give me 2 years, as opposed to a kid I have to develop right out of high school. That's not good for high school players.
Okay, Willie, so leave us with this, because we were talking about this earlier to start the hour. In honor of the Masters coming up this week, obviously the tournament just wrapping up, and, you know, you've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff in your career, but what's a bucket list sporting event that you would just want to go as a fan and live it up to the nines?
Wow, something I haven't been to yet. You know, I have never been to the Masters. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind going to that. I'm not a huge golf fan, but obviously that would be on the list. The Indy 500 is something that everybody tells me is something you got to see.
Yes.
One time. I did get a chance to go to the Kentucky Derby, which was fantastic, even Ooh. Though I don't pay any attention to horse racing at all, but that was worth the spectacle, without question. So those are two to come to mind for sure.
I said Wimbledon as one of them would be cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Willie.
That's my answer. I'm going Wimbledon.
I figured.
I would like to do that sometime.
I think it's a fun thing to think about. But, you know, with some of these big events coming up, it's always good to go that route. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll be listening in about 15 minutes when you join the crew at Bridgestone Arena. Predators need to get two points tonight against Vegas.
Yeah, it won't be easy. I'm not sure if they're getting anybody back. I heard David Poile this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. He's got his fingers crossed that maybe Roman Josi, but I'm not sure. It's awfully tough. I mean, they seem to lose a guy every game. We'll see if anybody's back tonight, but tall order tonight. I just admire how those guys are fighting. They were right in there halfway through, but Dallas just a little too good. And when teams like that flex, and Nashville is a little short on talent and experience, it's tough to hang in there every night. So hopefully they'll get a bounce back tonight.
I'm just waiting for Barry Trotz to walk up to Hal Gill and go, "You're in tonight, Skillsy."
Yeah, well, I told Derek Mason he needs to be ready too. I mean, they're getting thin. I mean, D-Mace, it's all hands on deck.
No doubt. Willie, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll be listening in about 15 minutes.
Thanks, Willie.
All right, thanks, guys.
Willie Donick, Caroline Willie, and D-Mace coming up at the top of the hour. All right, I promised it, and so we're going to do it now. Kiss tickets. Just call Nick Kieser right now. Caller number 7.
4. Okay, 6. 7.
Okay, you say 4? All right, caller number 4, 615-737-1025. You can win a pair of tickets to see Kiss before you can buy them. Bridgestone Arena, October 23rd. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. 615-737-1025. Call for those now, and you can win a pair of tickets to see Kiss. Here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.